can interact with the show by calling 760-888-5749 or use the hashtag PWPRadio on Twitter. Here are your hosts, Jay Leno and Will TLD Vampides.
Hello and welcome to episode number 6 of Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio. I am your party host, Jay Oletto. I'm the owner and operator of ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com. We will be joined in a little bit by our co-host, Will TLD Vasquez. He's going to be a little bit late tonight due to a hugely important game of volleyball. You heard that right, folks. Big Bad TLD is out playing volleyball, but he will be joining us in just a few minutes. So I'm starting this thing out solo for the first time. I'd like to give a little bit of a shout-out first, a couple plugs before we get going into this big-time episode tonight. First of all, I want to shout-out the Wrestling Realm, which you can find right here on Blog Talk Radio. Our friend Mr. Main Event, Brian Waters. He contributes every single week to ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com, and he's just a great wrestling fan, a great host. Check out the Wrestling Realm right here on BlogTalkRadio.com. I'd also like to thank the band that is responsible for our official theme song here on PWP Radio. They are the Ocean Airs, right from the Jersey Shore, right here where I come from. You can visit them and like their page, please, at www.facebook.com/TheOceanAirsMusic. Definitely go and check them out. They're talented musicians, and you will be hearing more from them right here on the Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Network. And one more plug, I want to tell you guys that we have another show right here on the PWP Radio Network, and that is called the SmackDown Rundown. It'll come to you each and every single weekend. It is hosted by a friend of mine, Seth Gutwrench, and he's usually joined by Graham Matthews and another co-host of his choosing. They pretty much go over SmackDown detail by detail, just like we do right here for Raw, and we will be doing tonight on that usually popular Raw that took place last night, as most of you know. So definitely check out the SmackDown Rundown. Also, I just want to say a shout-out to a couple of our new writers on the webpage. We have Michael Brown. He's debuting on ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com. And then we have Danny Damage, both out of the UK. Michael Brown already debuted with his article, and Danny Damage will be coming soon. But before we get into Monday Night Raw, I just want to get a little something off my chest. The internet wrestling community is definitely a unique, I guess, group of individuals. I'm a part of them. A lot of you listening probably are. The IWC, as they are called, it's basically a situation where damned if you do, damned if you don't. The WWE tries their ass off to entertain the mass amount of fans that watch the shows each and every single week. We may not agree with everything they do. We never will. But one thing we can agree on is that new talent needs to be pushed to the top of the card. They never take chances on anybody else. It's always the same fucking guys. You got John Cena, CM Punk, Randy Orton, Big Show, Triple H, the list goes on of these same big faces that have been crowding the main event scene for quite a while. Now we got guys like Dolph Ziggler moving up. Daniel Bryan has moved up. And it looks like Ryback might be moving up. And the reaction by the IWC to Ryback is something that you don't see every day. I wrote an article on Bleacher Report, and it's also on ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com, about the possibilities between Ryback and CM Punk. Ryback and CM Punk is a money feud. These guys will make money together, no doubt about it. But the fact of the matter is, Raw ended last night with a lot of intrigue. Nobody really knows where it's heading. We will get to this more in depth later on tonight. But the fact of the matter is, give it a chance, IWC. We need to stick together, be fans, enjoy the product for once, whether you hate it, whether you like it. Definitely voice your opinion. I'm not saying don't voice your opinion. What I'm saying is look at it from different angles. I get it, folks. I understand that a lot of people don't think Ryback is ready for this top spot. They want the more traditional route. They want, you know, him to go through the Intercontinental title holder, carry the belt for a while, drop it to somebody else, win the Royal Rumble, get the shot, yada, yada, yada. WWE's taking a chance, and that is something that they need to do right now in the wrestling business. So I just want to let everybody know you can call into the show whenever you want. If you want to weigh in on Ryback, if you want to talk about Monday Night Raw, which we're about to get to, please call the number 760-888-5749. Once again, 760-888-5749. Also, you can visit our Facebook page at facebook.com/Pro Wrestling Powerhouse. If this is your first time listening, please go over and give us a like. And tonight, we are sure to take it into iTunes Overtime. iTunes Overtime is when, after the hour mark, after we hit 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we will be going into overtime, so the live feed will be cut off, and that'll mostly be our TNA talk. We usually like to finish off with a little TNA, a little total nonstop action wrestling. So go there tomorrow, download the Wrestler Shows on iTunes, and give us a 5-star rate. We do need it. We will appreciate it. And, you know, do whatever you can to support the show, whether you go to ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com, buy something through our Amazon store, or just share it. You know, go on Twitter, tweet us at PW Powerhouse, or share it on Facebook, whatever you want to do. But without further ado, let's get right into Monday Night Raw. And what a Raw it was. A lot of people enjoyed this episode, as did I. There was a lot of content throughout. They did a lot of different things that we haven't seen in a long time, but some of it is still the same old shit. You know, WWE can't seem to get out of their own way when it comes to certain things they do on the show. But mind you, 3 hours, it's a lot to fill. They pretty much just got started doing this on a week-to-week basis. So I'm still giving it time. You know, the jury is still out on whether or not this is going to succeed or is going to fail. So Raw started out with a big pop, and it was surprising because he is now the top heel in the company. A huge pop for CM Punk and Paul Heyman to start out Monday Night Raw. They called out the rookie referee, something Maddox. If you got his name, I can't remember off the top of my head. They called out Maddox, and they started in with this NFL-ish angle. And speaking of the NFL, I don't know how many people watch football, whoever's listening. Last night on Monday Night Football, we had the most controversial ending in NFL history. So this is just adding fuel to the fire that is starting with this storyline with the referees in WWE. Last week on Raw, CM Punk got screwed, was defeated by John Cena, and we're feeling the repercussions from that now as this guy just gets completely humiliated in the ring. And, you know, AJ comes out, tries to mull over the situation a little bit, and it turns into something that I did not expect. CM Punk completely embarrasses AJ, brings up the past, which doesn't happen too often in WWE. He brings up the past about how AJ Lee proposed to him live on Monday Night Raw. And AJ just seemed upset. She seemed distraught. But what happened next? Paul Heyman, a guy who just has done it all in the wrestling business. He gets down on his knees, and proposes to AJ Lee, gives this big, drawn-out idea about how they could be the new power trip couple. They could be Brad and Angelina. They could be, you know, bigger than Stephanie McMahon and Triple H. It's drawn out a little bit, leads to AJ smacking Paul Heyman across the face. It was a big way to start off Raw. Major repercussions were felt. What is AJ going to do next? We know she's psychotic, but what is Paul Heyman going to do? How are Paul Heyman and CM Punk going to react to this in the future? And it just, we don't know. It's going to take some time. This is a long, drawn-out storyline. And as the weeks go on, especially with the NFL controversy, we will have to wait and see what exactly happens. But we have our first call of the night, and it looks like it is our buddy John Dimaselli from Brooklyn, New York. John, thanks for joining me tonight on PWP Radio. How you doing, man?
Good, Jay. What's going on, man?
You know what? Not a lot. Just got this thing going. Just started off solo tonight for the first time in history. And we dove right into Monday Night Raw. What were your thoughts on the big angle in the beginning? CM Punk, Paul Heyman, and AJ.
I think it's going to be one of those things that where everyone thought it was just maybe filler to open the show. I wouldn't be surprised before AJ gets fired if there is something, and I'm not sure if it's going to be direct or not, she is going to end up siding with them. Like I said, I'm not sure if it's going to be a full turn or not, but I could definitely see somewhere along the lines where they kind of think they got her in her back pocket. Maybe, you know, Heyman starts, you know, holding something over her head, or they start promising her maybe security, you know, the job security or something. But I could definitely see them leading into when she gets fired. I could definitely see them having her in their back pocket for a couple of weeks.
Yeah, I have to agree that this is building to something much bigger with this storyline incorporating the referees. But without further ado, I bring to you my co-host. He is back. He is back from his gigantic game of volleyball. Will TLV Vasquez, I got one question for you, buddy. Did you win tonight?
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. I won all the games. Of course I won. I'm TLV. I never lose. I'm so good at being good.
Well, visit TLVWrestling.com. Will, you're with us right now. I don't know how long you've been listening for, but we're just started talking about Monday Night Raw. How do you feel about the CM Punk-Paul Heyman kickoff and WWE using the issue with the NFL locking out the referees as a part of this storyline? It seems to just be gaining steam right now. What do you feel about that?
I do like the idea of, you know, using the NFL gimmick, especially what happened Monday night, is even more prevalent than ever. But I like the idea of them doing that. You know, it was it's smart. I mean, this is the first time in a long time I can remember the referees' names being used on TV. So I did like that. It's kind of something a little different. But I think the fact that the first image that you saw was CM Punk sitting down and Paul Heyman right above him. It was just a nice camera angle to start the show, just to make you, like, the first thing you have to see is CM Punk, and you don't want to see CM Punk, you know. It was really good. I liked it.
Yeah, I enjoyed it, too. I especially liked Paul Heyman's interaction with Punk, where he was holding the belt up in the air. He was holding the belt up, and it was kind of showing that the belt means everything. The belt is at the top. It's even above CM Punk, and it makes that title just mean a little bit more. But moving on from this, we'll get back into a little bit more with CM Punk later on in the night. The first match of the night was stellar. It was a great contest. There was a little bit of hijinks before it started with R-Truth, Little Jimmy, Vicky Guerrero. But it actually added to the match because you didn't have to deal with them throughout. There was no interference. It was just a one-on-one contest. Dolph Ziggler defeated Kofi Kingston live on Monday Night Raw last night. These two have a storied history, which wasn't really brought up too much, but they've battled a lot in the past on pay-per-view and in other avenues in WWE. So Dolph defeats Kofi, great match, but everybody's still wondering about the briefcase, and I'm going to give it to you, John, on this one. What do you think is going to happen with this Money in the Bank briefcase? When will it be cashed in?
I'm leaning, call me crazy, I'm leaning TLC. I think Hell in a Cell, you know, is going to be what it's going to be with Sheamus and probably Del Rio, although when they announced Big Show Orton, I could see that becoming a number one contender match. I could see Survivor Series with Sheamus maybe being something with Barrett. And I would think it would make the most sense at TLC, after, especially if he's either in a ladder match, table match, chair match, whatever, you know, beaten down after his win. And I think that's when Ziggler's gonna cash it in, and then we'll go into the Rumble, and we'll see where he goes from there. I think whenever he does cash in, the Raw and the SmackDown right after that is going to tell where this reign is going to go. If he doesn't come out, and even a match like he had last night with Kofi, where it was a great match, they worked well together, they got, like, I think they got double-digit minutes. If not, they were close to it. And he can go into a couple of matches like that with, obviously, the return match with Sheamus, meaning on when he does cash in, he'll have a good run. If he bombs out on that first Raw and that first SmackDown after, then he's probably doomed, and Sheamus will probably take the belt back from him at the Rumble.
Will, what are your thoughts on the briefcase?
I think we are trying to establish that Dolph Ziggler still has that briefcase. And I'm not going to be surprised if he's the first heel to actually tell us before he actually cashes it in. Because he's winning matches cleanly. He's not really cheating to win. So it builds up credibility. And I would not be surprised if he cashes that belt in, you know, on a heel. I would not be surprised.
I would not be surprised either. I'm not sure exactly what's going to happen. I really don't have a prediction on this, although I wish I did. But I think Survivor Series would be great. It would definitely give Dolph Ziggler the big platform to win the World Heavyweight title and go on to possibly hold it through WrestleMania. But that remains to be seen. But, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take about a minute break right now. I have just been informed we have a bit of an echo issue. So we're going to take a minute break, and we'll be right back on PWP Radio. Ladies and gentlemen, we are back. Jay Leno back with you. I was informed through Twitter that we had some kind of an echo issue. So we're starting this thing off fresh. We were talking about Dolph Ziggler and his briefcase. I think Survivor Series would be the perfect time for him to cash in. It's a big stage. It always has a lot of build-up and excellent interaction with the WWE Universe. So I think Dolph Ziggler should cash in at Survivor Series. I don't think they should wait until the new year or wait until closer to WrestleMania. They should do it and establish Dolph Ziggler. And that's definitely what should happen, in my opinion. But it remains to be seen where exactly it's going to go. So moving on from Dolph and Kofi, the next match was kind of a throwaway match for the night. We had the primetime players taking on Zack Ryder and Santino Marella in what was a relative squash match. Will, what do you think about the primetime players? Is this giving them heat back? Is this kind of a way to further establish them as a dominant tag team after kind of being shoved out of the limelight by the whole Kane and Daniel Bryan story?
Yeah, they're just trying to build them up. You know, the primetime players are definitely going to be a tag team of the future. You know, I just think right now they need the star power to be, you know, a little bit higher. But I wouldn't be surprised if a lot of these, if we get some kind of a tag team war going on, you know, between all these teams, not just, because you're going to have a lot of teams over the last month. You're going to have, what, 3-4 teams kind of like ready to go for this championship match between Daniel Bryan and Kane. So it's just a way to build the prime time players up because Tim Hill and Zach Bryan aren't doing anything. So they sacrifice them because they're already over with the crowd anyway. So it doesn't matter. They can lose all they want, you know, but the primetime players, they need it right now.
Yeah, nobody's ever going to remember whether Zach Ryder wins or loses a match. It's just not going to happen. He's fallen too far down on the card. Although last week we did talk about how good he actually is. But the fact of the matter is he's a young wrestler and he's got a long future ahead of him. So there could be many different ways that he becomes involved in WWE aside from what's going on with him right now. John, your thoughts on the primetime players was this match and a way for them to regain some of the heat that's been taken away from them by the Kane and Daniel Bryan story?
Yes, because even 6 months ago, you know what, they would have been fed to Rey and Kara last night. And the fact that they weren't, it looks like they're going to maybe build that up to a little feud down the road, but or they're just going to keep these teams going. I mean, like you guys just said, you know, there's more than four teams. I mean, which when was the last time you could say that? But this was a good win for them. And, you know, you beat up a team like Ryder and Morella, which is good to get you some heat. You know, maybe a SmackDown win over the Usos. And, you know, when the match with Rey and Kara comes about, maybe at Hell in a Cell or in Raw a couple weeks down the road at least, it means a little more.
You're correct. I think that it's imperative for the WWE to do a mid-card tag team feud right now with Daniel Bryan and Kane holding the belt. And it looks like they're headed into a feud, but we'll get more into that in a little bit because we're going right through Raw step by step. And next up on the list was Mick Foley making a big return to Monday Night Raw. And it was good to see him because I had no idea. I don't think anybody had any clue he was going to be in the house. And he cut a fantastic promo with CM Punk. This was one of those moments that could literally send chills up and down your spine. And I really hope all the young guys backstage were listening because Mick Foley gets it. He understands how to cut a promo from the heart. The guy doesn't need a script. The guy doesn't need even any kind of line given to him by a writer, nothing at all. He can go with it. He give him a topic, give him a subject, and he will give you something great and something memorable. And I personally think this is one of those moments. My man TLV, what do you think of this Mick Foley and CM Punk interaction?
Well, I would like to pose a question to you two gentlemen, because I'm a nice guy, that what was your favorite line that he used that, like, was, like, the moment where you thought, like, this is amazing?
Well, I'll go first. I remember towards the end, I can't remember off the top of my head exactly what he said, but towards the end of that promo when Mick Foley, he's been known to get kind of, like, psychotic and get that look in his eye and really, you know, you could tell he's getting mad and hyped up and he's really speaking with emotion and from the heart. When he started to do that, that is when I really just stopped fucking around with Facebook and Twitter and just stared at the TV because during Raw, usually, you know, I'm back and forth. I'm not always watching move for move what happens. But I fucking stared at the TV because when Mick Foley talks like that, I pay attention. And maybe that was embedded in my head back in the mid-90s from his ECW days with his great promo cutting or the late 90s in the WWF. But it was towards the end. John, same question. What was the line that you thought got Mick Foley over the most last night on Monday Night Raw?
I am going to be honest with you. It's the fact that I never knew his three title reigns equaled 29 days. You know, all this talk of Punk with his days, you know, the counting down, and it's to make you think that, wow, you know what, this is really impressive. But to me, it was the fact that Foley proved, and just with that, you know, oh, my three reigns were 29 days, you would never think Foley's reigns only lasted that long. And that said something, along the lines of, do you want to be legendary or do you want to be a statistic? I forget the way he worded it, but to me, that stood out the most. You know, you could have the longest reign ever, but if you don't do anything with it, what's the number really mean?
Hey, Will, to you, what do you think?
Well, actually, his line was wrong. It actually went, you want to be a statistic or you want to be a legend. You reversed it, so you were wrong on that. I'm just correcting you. So, yeah, that was my favorite line also. I thought that, you know, that's a pretty important thing to think about because, you know, we've had champions for 5 years, 3 years, 4 years. You talk about, like, Bob Backlund. You talk about Hulk Hogan, Bruno Sammartino, you know, but then you have guys with short reigns like The Rock, Stone Cold, even Mick Foley. And, you know, most people would say, you know, those three guys, the last three I mentioned, were over more than the three legends that we just said. So as many days as they've had the belts, you know, it's not about a title ring. You know, they always say the WWE Championship is like the most important championship in the world. And if you don't get that, it's not like you can, you know, not a lot of people can get over with it. But, you know, guys like Foley who took other means to get over, you know, with the audience, or the audience reacted or had a feeling towards him, you know, that's what we need. And CM Punk is on the verge of that now, the way he reacted to the audience tonight, the way he acted to, you know, AJ, the way he acted to Cena tonight, it was just really compelling television. If anybody hated that segment, you know, you should never watch wrestling. Go watch Monday Night Football.
Well, a lot of people watched Monday Night Football last night. They drew a monstrous 16.7 rating on ESPN, but this is a wrestling show, not a football show. I could talk all day about football as well, but we're going to continue with Raw, and I want to keep it here on this subject for a moment and ask one question that I kind of posed last night in social media, and I plugged that it's going to be on the show. Now, we've noticed in the past month or so, maybe 2 months, that CM Punk, since his heel turn, he's been involved with a lot of WWE legends. And I want to know, guys, and I'll give it to John first, does CM Punk need repeated WWE legends on the show to help him get over as a heel, or is WWE just trying to let the fans kind of dictate what's going to happen by having guys like Jerry Lawler, Bret Hart, and Mick Foley involved with Punk?
I think it's a combination of both. This Punk turn is on the verge of becoming Austin's 2001 turn before the Alliance, where no matter what Austin did, he would get cheered. I mean, Punk, even with Bret Hart, even with Foley last night, with Lawler, he was catching heat, but anything else he does, and this also might be the fact that he's going up against Cena right now, the guy who, you know, will get booed anywhere. I think it's a combination of both, but eventually you're going to run out of that legend well who can work with him. I mean, you were lucky you got what you got out of Lawler with him. I think he could get something out with Foley. If they wanted to do a match with him and Foley, I think that could be what really ices it and puts it over the top. But he's in that weird spot where it's probably going to be a combination of both, where I'm not going to boo him against Cena, but, you know, when Mick Foley tells him to man up, I'm going to cheer Foley.
Absolutely. That one match with Mick Foley has solidified many careers. You talk about Edge at WrestleMania 22, Randy Orton at Backlash 2004, Triple H countless times. Mick Foley put him over. Mick Foley is the guy to help get these wrestlers that are kind of on the brink of superstardom. He's the guy to help them get over. And I personally think that Mick Foley could have been a suitable replacement for John Cena if they did go into Hell in a Cell and they did need Mick Foley to go one more time and CM Punk could, you know, have himself a moment in that match. But it looks like Cena's going to be ready. Will, same question to you. Does CM Punk need these legendary interactions with WWE Hall of Famers and legends to help get over the heel?
Absolutely. You know, absolutely. Because we love these legends. I love Bret. I love Mick. I love Jerry. You know, CM Punk is a new guy, and you need to use these legends to get him over because, you know, there are going to be some people still chanting CM Punk, but you could see the dwindling and dwindling all, you know, throughout the entire time. You know, even though there was some CM Punk chants, there were a lot of boos. There wasn't the reaction that we usually hear. You know, I think that it's slowly going the right way because CM Punk is a cowardly champion. You know, one thing I noticed that he did in that segment with Foley is he loves to be respected, but yet he disrespects everything that a champion is. One thing I can point out was he threw the WWE Championship down. I don't know if you caught that.
No.
Okay, so he did that. He threw the WWE Championship down on the ground, like whipped it up in the air and threw it down on the ground. You know, talk about disrespect. You know, that's one of them. As much as he knows to show the respect for the WWE Championship, he completely disrespects the title by throwing it on the ground. You know, so that was just one thing, just a tiny bit of detail that I like, you know, and absolutely you need these legends. I think it's great to use them, you know. I don't think Mick Foley's going to come back next week. I think it was a one-shot deal, you know, and I think they're going to keep doing that, you know, depending on where they are. But absolutely, I think it works great, you know, and who knows, that could lead up to where The Rock is a legend. You know, Rock and CM Punk, you know, oh my God, The Rock and CM Punk, now with the way CM Punk is, there is no way the CM Punk is going to get cheered.
Well, I don't think they need to do it, but I'm kind of happy that they are because everybody likes to see Mick Foley. And you brought up the point of CM Punk throwing the belt down. That just shows you how much of a student of the game CM Punk truly is. It's something that's symbolic of what Shane Douglas did back in 1994 when he proclaimed the NWA Championship as the ECW Championship. And that sent shockwaves throughout the wrestling industry. It would actually be smart if WWE focused on that a little more, because that just doesn't really happen too often, aside from certain wrestlers used to throw the belt into the ring. I remember Austin would throw the belt over the top rope, but it was never done in a disrespectful manner. But, yeah, you're correct, Will. CM Punk heading into a possible showdown with The Rock at the Royal Rumble, maybe a showdown with Stone Cold Steve Austin in the future? I don't know. We'll have to wait.
And that was his injury. I don't see that happening.
Yeah, not this year.
I could see a face-to-face interaction, but, you know, I think The Rock is enough. I don't even think Stone Cold needs to be involved with this because The Rock's already going to do exactly what the job is. You know, Rock is enough to, you know, get CM Punk that heat. And, you know, the fact that CM Punk is just not going to get those cheers. CM Punk cannot get cheered, you know. I mean, it's just, there's no way at Royal Rumble with The Rock coming back that CM Punk is going to be over if he is the man to face him, you know. So there's no way. And if he beats The Rock, that's even more heat on him.
Let me ask you this, Will, real quick. Heading into the Rumble, the Punk Rock promos are going to be ridiculous. But it's going to be hard to, unless they go a completely different direction with Punk, being this whole, you know, he speaks the truth, this and that, Punk's going to unload on Rocky, and the problem's going to be is that Punk's going to unload on Rocky with stuff that's true. You left all these years ago. Heck, last year you said you weren't going anywhere. You left again. It may not be a done deal that Punk gets completely booed out of the building in Phoenix.
I may not get totally booed, but there's no way he's going to get, you know, CM Punk chance like The Rock's going to get. There's just no way. You know, it's seen as a different case. You know, and I think people who are booing Cena are already dumb as they are. But, you know, because they're, you know, it doesn't make any sense to boo the guy anymore. It just gets old. When I actually get more tired of them booing him every time that he comes out.
Well, it remains to be seen what exactly is going to happen. We'll see a Punk face The Rock at the Royal Rumble. It is something that we will sure as hell talk about as the weeks go on. But right now we're going to stick with Monday Night Raw and move on with the show. And speaking of CM Punk, we will talk a little bit more about him later towards the end of the hour, but Ryback destroyed The Miz in a non-title contest last night. The Miz got in a little bit of offense, seemed to be the only one to kind of rattle Ryback for a short period of time during that match, but this was absolute utter destruction. We'll talk about Ryback's involvement at the end of the show with CM Punk, but there's not really much to say about this. They just threw The Miz at Ryback, non-title, got this out of the way, but it looks like WWE has bigger plans for Ryback than any of us could expect. So moving right along, another brilliant scene between Kane and Daniel Bryan in the diner with Dr. Shelby. I completely laugh my ass off at every time they cut back to this. Will, your thoughts on the tomfoolery, should I say, between Kane and Daniel Bryan in the diner with Dr. Shelby?
Oh, man. You know, a lot of people, you know, always say that, you know, the writers suck. You know, how many times have we said, oh, creative sucks, you know? You know, but when you see stuff like that, you really enjoy the work that they did, you know? You got great characters and you have a great script, you know, put together. It's just like, it almost looks easy to do. You know, it's so easy to make those two do anything and they could do it with the characters they've been given. I love the skits, you know, the backstage stuff. Those are the kind of things I remember back in the Attitude Era when we had a lot of backstage stuff or off-site stuff, you know, like Austin on the Bridge, Rock on the Bridge, you know, like those are like little things that are always fun to watch. I think some of the best moments were not in the ring when, you know, when I watch Raw.
John, same question. What are your thoughts on Daniel Bryan, Kane, and Dr. Shelby in the diner? It's took place throughout the episode.
I loved it, and what made it even great, even better, was the fact that it was done earlier in the day, so you knew you were going to get them for something in the arena when they were done, but just the whole thing with Kane being the waiter, Gerald, and then the thing with the reverse of the lunch orders, McCain having to eat the salad, Brian having to eat the meatball, and then the burping, the puking, and the Harry Met Sally parody. It's the best thing they've got going on right now. It's the best thing, hands down, they've got going on.
Yeah, I absolutely.
That's why
agree.
SmackDown was surrounded by that. The SmackDown was surrounded the whole show by that.
I think that was a test. I think SmackDown was a test to see just how over these guys are, especially since they weren't Philadelphia. That's Daniel Bryan territory. And I think they wanted to do that for the fans as well, give them a little more Daniel Bryan than they usually seem to get. Next match on the card on Monday Night Raw was Wade Barrett defeating Tyson Kidd. Your standard Wade Barrett squash as of late, Tyson Kidd. He seems to be going up and down as far as the push is concerned. I'm not sure if he's in a tag team.
He's not going anywhere.
He's not going anywhere. He's had this tag team with Justin Gabriel. Nothing seemed to come out of it. I mentioned earlier we need a tag team mid-card feud somewhere involved with this whole thing. And Wade Barrett, we know what's going to happen with him. He's going to be built up slowly once again, although he doesn't really need it. We talked about that last week. But Tyson Kidd, you just said he's going nowhere. Will, why is he going nowhere?
Tyson Kidd?
Yeah, Tyson Kidd. Why is he going nowhere? What's the problem with
Because
Tyson
there's nothing
Kidd
marketable
right
about him. There's nothing marketable about him. That's the truth. You want to be honest? That's the truth. Who has listened to this show has ever listened or ever bought a Tyson Kidd t-shirt? Heart
I don't even know.
T-shirt.
I honestly didn't know he had a t-shirt, to be quite honest with you. I had no idea.
Go back to the Heart, when they had the Heart Dynasty. Even that. Who here could say they bought a t-shirt? And who here could say they bought a Nexus item? You know,
Most people did buy Nexus items, and that's another thing I wanted to bring up real quick is there was another spattering of We Want Nexus chants. I don't know if that's contributed to last week's Raw where it was heard throughout the building and WWE.com's articles on possibly redoing old factions from the past. John, what would you think if WWE decided to just say, hey, we're bringing back Nexus?
It would depend where they go about it from them coming back. The one thing was disappointing about the original Nexus was they never spoke about that greater good, that greater cause that Barrett seemed to speak on in the early interviews. I think you need the right explanation for it. I think Barrett as a leader is fine. I don't know if you need to really worry about who would be in it. He proved he could get those. I mean, except for him and Daniel Bryan, he proved he could get basically six nobodies over, you know, 2 summers ago. And he did, so I don't think the crew matters. I think the how and the why would be the most important thing to it. Now, as you said earlier, what's going on with you in the briefcase, if Barrett's going to be built up for a world title run, that would probably be the best way to do it, almost like when Flair had the Four Horsemen. But, you know, I would just need a good story behind it because that thing went south real quick between guys getting injured. You know, they were able to survive the Daniel Bryan thing, but between guys getting injured and then the new Nexus, and it was a mess towards the end. But you need to clear up the loose ends this time for me, for it to work.
Yeah, I agree with you there. Will, you think there's any chance that there will be a Nexus reunion in the future involving Wade Barrett?
I guarantee you, if they didn't do Justin Gabriel versus Wade Barrett, we never would have said those Nexus chants because that was the only reason why those chants were going on. It had nothing to do, because Barrett, those Nexus chants weren't around when he was there. Then all of a sudden he came back on Raw, and they saw two guys that were in Nexus. Of course they're going to cheer for that, you know, and that's what started it. I think WWE made a mistake, and they're still making a mistake, by not having Wade Barrett be in the title picture. He could have fought Sheamus. That could have been the next feud. You know, I don't get what they're doing with him. I skipped over his match. Because I recorded it because I couldn't be home, and I skipped over it because I already knew what was going to happen. It was Tyson Kidd. There was no way he was going to be Tyson Kidd. You know, it's just he needs to be up higher, and he's already proven that. So why does he have to start at the bottom? Ryback, I can understand. and Brutus Clay, I can understand, but not Wade Barrett.
I think it's got something to do with the fact that they don't know what to do with Wade Barrett right now. It seems like it should be simple, and it could be simple. I'd say put him directly in a feud with
Sheamus. Put him in the world title.
Yeah, put him in a feud with Sheamus. Exactly. Make it simple for
There's
yourself.
There's nothing better than that.
It's a perfect feud
for Sheamus to get over and Barrett to get booed.
Exactly, and it's something where WWE seems to outthink themselves sometimes. Instead of just putting the fucking kibosh in the stupid Alberto Del Rio angle, they are not doing anything. They're not utilizing Wade Barrett like he should. So moving right along, we talked about this last week. It was a controversial subject, but it turns out that WWE did the right thing. And the Jerry the King Lawler interview landed somewhere in the middle of the show. Jerry Lawler looked fantastic. It's great to see him back on the
and
big
can.
Screen. It was hilarious. John, what did you think about the Jerry Lawler interview?
I thought it was great. I thought it was really well done. I thought Cole was great. I thought he was great. I need to know where he goes tanning, get that type of color. But it was well done. It was done nicely. You know, I was a little surprised they showed some of those pictures that they showed with him being worked on and this and that. I didn't know those were out there. I was a little surprised to see. But, yeah, nothing but, you know, class act, well done. Cole was great. The comedy between Lawler and Cole, Lawler's ability to joke about what happened somewhat, you know, when he said, oh, I was bound to catch a heart attack working with you for 3 hours every week, was great. And you know what? It put a real spin on what happened to him because you got the first count, you know, recollection of what he went through. So, you know, we look good. And you know what? It's just the best thing that, you know, we can sit here and talk about this when 2 weeks ago, you know, who knows what we thought we were going to be talking about with him.
Will?
Yeah, I was surprised how very tanned he was. He looked, for a guy with a heart attack, he had a pretty good tan. You know, it was nice to see the comedy side of it. You know, it was pretty scary to say that he didn't know where he was and he thought he was still in Aruba. He didn't even know he had a wrestling match. Those are, you know, those kind of things scare you because, like, if something like that happens to you and your family, you know, what to think about that. You know, imagine what his son was going through, his girlfriend was going through, you know, the wrestlers in the back that were watching that. It was just like, ugh, scary to think about, but it was nice that the King, still good. It was nice that he put some humor on it. You know, it's good that Michael Cole, you know, shows like a lot of human side to him that we haven't seen before. And it was just overall nice to see the King. And I think, you know, the crowd appreciated it. And anybody that still thinks that it's not tasteful or disrespectful, you know, it's time to get over it. You know, I mean, obviously Jerry doesn't mind doing it. So why should we care?
I absolutely agree with you guys again. I mean, this was very classy by the WWE. They did it in the right way. I was a little shocked by the pictures at first. I didn't think they'd go there, but I guess since they have them, they might as well use them to really show that this was a serious situation. So it was great to see Lawler back. Hopefully he's back on Raw weekly, each and every week soon. But
the only thing that would have been scary about the pictures would have been if he would have died, would have been the fact that those pictures would have been out there and they would have made their way. Website. That's the only thing, you know, that was a little weird to see them pop up 2 weeks later.
Yeah, they would have gone viral in no time if he would have passed away. And hopefully if he did, WWE would never release those pictures, and I don't think they would, especially with the way they are with the PG era and Linda McMahon's campaign.
And the Owen Hart, they don't show that either, and they have that.
Exactly. So next match on the card, we had Sheamus, Rey Mysterio, and Sin Cara defeating Otunga, Rodriguez, and Del Rio in a match where Sin Cara actually got unmasked for a moment. I don't know if anybody caught that, but Del Rio accidentally pulled the mask right off Sin Cara. You got to see his full face, normal-looking dude. It's no big deal. It was a real quick thing. But this match was kind of like nothing special, nothing memorable about it, except that Ricardo Rodriguez was involved wrestling in the tuxedo. All six of these guys seem to be kind of in limbo right now. You don't know what's going to happen with the World Heavyweight title, with Sheamus holding it, and the feud with Del Rio seemingly never ending, considering Del Rio hasn't beat him yet at all. So, Will, these six guys, what are your thoughts? Was it just a filler match, or does it actually mean something for the future?
Was this the match that the fan went into the ring?
Yeah, no, that was Ryback.
Yeah, Ryback and Miz, if you understand, right?
Stop talking about that. You damn fans, stay across the damn entrance, man. That's why we have a barricade, you fools. Anyway, yeah, I liked the match. Actually, I enjoyed it. I thought Sin Cara getting the victory was good instead of Sheamus. I thought Sheamus, you know, not giving Sin Cara the tag and giving him one was nice. It's good to see Ricardo not knowing what he was doing. Pretty funny. Even though he's a very talented wrestler, from what I hear, from FCW or the NXT part. But, you know, it's good that he, you know, doesn't know what he's doing. And it was fun to watch. You know, Tonga taking the bro kick was nice. I thought it's good. It's a good baby face pop, you know. So it's getting Sin Cara over. I think this is really helping Sin Cara get over. I didn't even see him get on Mass. I didn't see that. But, you know, I think it's good. I think it's pretty clear that Alberto Del Rio is going to be out of this picture.
How about you, John? What do you think with this matchup? Was it something that was just filler, or does it mean something for the future?
I think it's filler only because if Rey and Cara didn't get jumped by primetime players last week, I could have seen this turning into Otunga and Del Rio versus Rey and Cara, which wouldn't be, you know, bad. It would keep Del Rio in something kind of relevant. But it's like, are you gonna? How do you ignore the fact what happened to Rey and Cara last week? So you're going to move Rey and Cara into the primetime player feud. Sheamus is probably going somewhere else with the world title. Now what does Del Rio do, especially when the two mid-card titles are on heels? It looks like it's just going to end up being a filler segment, you know, more about Ricardo.
Well, remember, folks, if you want to call in, please do so at 760-888-5749. We've got a little over 10 minutes left in the live show. Once it hits 10 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we will be going into iTunes overtime. We'll be talking about TNA wrestling mostly, but we're going to just go ahead and finish with Monday Night Raw right now and what happened last night. Next thing on the show that took place was we got our Raw Active moment where Kane and Daniel Bryan, the fans got to pick their name. This is weird. They got to pick their tag team name. It's unprecedented, I believe, in wrestling. I've seen where they voted, where fans have voted on it through WWE.com or wherever, especially with Kofi Kingston and Evan Bourne back a year ago or so. But it turns out that their name is Team Hell No. I thought for sure it was going to be Team Friendship, but they were attacked by the newly formed tag team of Cody Rhodes and Damian Sandow, Team Rhodes Scholars. I'm really not liking how they're saying team this, team that. Why can't they just come up with a name? I'd rather them be Cody Rhodes and Damian Sandow than fucking Team Rhodes Scholars. But it looks like this will be a big tag team championship match coming up in the future. Will, what are your thoughts on Cody Rhodes and Damian Sandow teaming up?
I like them teaming up. I think it makes sense. I think they have, you know, right now, Kane and Daniel Bryan, for two guys that don't get along, I mean, you would think that it's pretty easy to beat them. You know, considering, you know, they can't even be a tag team, you know. So why not join up and try to beat them? I think right now it gives them both something to do. And it's still Team Friendship. I don't care what it says. There's no way a lot of these fans put Hell No. This is the first time where I think that was rigged. There's no way that people said this is Team Hell No.
Yeah,
no
I
way.
I didn't understand it either. How about you, John? What are your
thoughts
on
No.
Yeah, I kind of think the active part was rigged too. I like Rhodes and Sandow together. Yeah, I could do without the team.
No.
Rhodes Scholars thing. I mean, Rhodes Scholars wouldn't be bad. Just I don't need the team everything. I like them, and I think JR said what Will said last night, that these guys are so dysfunctional that let's get together and, you know, we could probably take the belts off them. And I think that's why, besides the teams you already got set up and a couple teams you got in FCW who might be on the verge of being ready, you're going to see some of these makeshift teams. And you know what? If it keeps guys relevant and keeps guys in storylines and, you know, it builds the story even more, you know what? I'm all for it.
Yeah, I have to say that Cody Rhodes and Damian Sandow are two guys who also seem to be in limbo. Cody Rhodes had his little feud with Sin Cara and Rey Mysterio over the Intercontinental Championship with The Miz. Damian Sandow was doing whatever. It seemed like he was fighting a different guy every week and running away from them if they were main event guys. But join them up together and you have yourself a formidable tag team. I'm not sure if it's a long-term plan for the both, but it seems like it's going to work right now with Kane and Daniel Bryan. It seems like they're baby faces now. You know, everybody says that they're tweeners, but I'm thinking they're full-blown baby faces at this point, and that's fine with me because they're so fucking over. It's unbelievable. We're going to skip the Eve, Beth Phoenix, Alicia Fox, Layla match because really who cares? There was a brutal Caitlyn promo. She doesn't know how to talk on the stick. She's got to pay more fucking attention to Mick Foley and stop giving Roddy Piper blowjobs backstage. But turned out that Eve attacked Beth Phoenix. There was a blonde person that attacked Caitlyn. Whatever. Who the fuck is? Moving right along. Tensai and Brodus Clay, a battle of two big men, ended in a disqualification. Tensai got the victory on the record book, but who really cares? Because the Big Show made his return to WWE and destroyed both men with right hands, and it was announced on Raw that he will go on and face Randy Orton, as you brought up earlier, John, on SmackDown. And it could be for number one contendership. I guess we'll have to wait and see what General Manager Booker T has to say about that. But, Will, your thoughts on the Big Show making his huge return to Monday Night Raw?
Well, I think the only reason why that return happened is because of what's going on Raw, because they don't have a formidable opponent really right now for CM Punk. It's questionable. So I think they brought Big Show back because either he was done with his media tour and he was finally brought back in. You know, at first it almost looked like he was going to be a face taking out Tensai first. I think that Brodus Clay should have got knocked out first, personally. I think that made him look like a face in a way. You know, I think that was a mistake. But I think Big Show will get his steam back facing Orton. But I think Big Show is going to probably be the guy to face Sheamus right now. I think that would be a great feud to have between the two guys. I think having Big Show back is always good. I just think the execution of it wasn't good.
Especially if you want Sheamus to continue to be dominant, you can have him go into Hell in a Cell with Big Show, which would be his biggest fight yet. And, it would pose definitely the question of whether Big Show will become the new World Heavyweight Champion once again. How about you, John? What are your thoughts on Big Show returning to the fold?
Yeah, I was over the weekend, especially with the way the house shows went, they were Big Show Punk. So I was actually thinking that Big Show was maybe going to come out at the end and be the replacement for Cena at Hell in a Cell. I agree with you guys. I don't think it's going there. I think it's going to somehow segue into him and Sheamus. I don't understand yet why he would hit Tensai first. And I guess we'll probably get him beating Clay again next week on Raw, as brutal as that was back in the early summer. So, but you know what? It's something new for Sheamus. At least it's not Del Rio.
Yeah, you're absolutely right there. Now we head into our main event segment. It wasn't a main event match. I personally prefer when Raw ends with a match. But this is a big segment. John Cena came out with his arm in a sling, just off of elbow surgery, came out and told the world. He acted like he was going to retire or some bullshit. He's done this time and time again where he comes out and gets emotional and shows the crowd, there's a different side to me. You know, I'm John Cena. I can be upset. I don't have to be gung-ho all the time. But he came out and he vowed to be ready for Hell in a Cell to fight CM Punk. But the story here was whether CM Punk was going to allow John Cena to have this match with him, because AJ gave Punk the option whether he wanted to fight Cena or not. So it turned out that Cena attacks Punk at the end with a lead pipe, which is actually a fucking empty roll of paper towels, spray painted whatever color, silver. But the big story here is at the end of this segment, we had CM Punk going backstage, walks by Mick Foley, ends up attacking Foley while walking out of the arena, turns around to continue his assault on Mick, and looks directly at fucking Ryback. This is a shocking moment on Raw. The live crowd didn't even see it. There was no reaction from the live crowd. It was something that only us watching could see. This is intriguing. This is something I didn't see coming. When I saw CM Punk looking terrified, I thought for sure it was going to be The Undertaker, as many other people did. But, Will, your thoughts on Ryback and CM Punk staring face-to-face? There's many different ways they can go with this angle. So I want to know, what do you think about this? Which way are they going to go with CM Punk and Ryback?
Well, first off, Mr. Jay Leno, you know, we understood why Miz got squashed, because that wasn't really clearly seen why he was squashed, but now we know why. But I did like, this is the backup plan for John Cena. I mean, it's pretty obvious. But honestly,
Ryback is, this is a guy that if you saw him down the alley, you can boo him all you want, you can call him a Goldberg mark, but if you saw this guy down an alley, you would run away from him. Am I not right?
No, you're absolutely correct. I think the greatest thing about Ryback is he's fucking believable. And I talked with you, Will, last night about this, how I didn't understand when Bret Hart lost to Shawn Michaels at WrestleMania 12, I actually stopped watching wrestling, or I should say just WWF, because of that. And I didn't get it. It wasn't believable to me. I did not understand what the fuck was going on. And I think Ryback's believable, and he's the type of guy that can really get over with the WWE universe as a main event contender.
You know, now what I'm worried about, though, is that when we go to Hell in a Cell, if he's indeed the opponent, I'm worried this crowd is going to be pro-CM Punk. That's the only problem with this right now is they got to make CM Punk look real heelish for Ryback. And Ryback, to me, I think Ryback needs to start saying something to kind of get over with the audience, especially the older audience, because they're not going to believe him because they think he's a Goldberg mark. You know, there's copies of everything in wrestling. People compare CM Punk to Stone Cold. People compare, you know, a lot of people to a lot of different people. People compare Kurt Angle to Bret Hart. You know, there's always going to be those comparisons, you know, in wrestling, you know, and that's just the way it is. You know, and Ryback's trying to do something different, which I think he's a believable badass that will kick your ass, and CM Punk has a right to be scared. He, you know, and we don't know what full potential Ryback could be. We've only seen him in squash matches. This is going to be, if he does indeed fight CM Punk, this will be the very first time Ryback's going to have a really cool match, and we'll see what he has.
Well, I know, John,
I don't mind it.
Let me get John in. We only have 3 minutes left in the show. John, you have a different take on this subject. I want to hear what's your thoughts on Ryback.
Here's my problem with this, and I have no problem with Ryback Punk as far as the feud, the storyline, the match happening. That's fine. I have no problem with that. I get that. He's the hot hand. He's Goldberg in 98. I have no problem with that. Here's my problem with it. If there's too much going on with the WWE title on with Punk that, remember, this is all ties back into The Rock in January at the Rumble. You don't have time to do, if you do Ryback Punk at Hell in a Cell, because Cena can't go, it's obvious Cena's going to get the next shot at Survivor Series. So Ryback's going to have to get screwed a million ways over to lose at Hell in a Cell. Now, we're supposed to sit there and accept the fact that Ryback's not going to want another shot at Punk because Super Cena has to get his shot at Survivor Series. That's going to kill any momentum to get off this. You know, and if you do something with them in Survivor Series, it's going to end at TLC anyway because here comes Dwayne in to get his title shot at the Royal Rumble. I think it's a great idea. I just think the timing of it is bad. It is. Because this is a guy, and I kind of touched on this on my video blog today, he's been built up and built up and built up, but he's jumping too far ahead. The difference with him and Goldberg is if you look at the way Goldberg was built up, Goldberg went through the levels of heat of talent in WCW to get to Hogan. Ryback is basically going two independent local guys every week. Heath Slater, Jinder Mahal, The Miz, and maybe Punk, if that's where it ends up going. Now, if Cena can go at Hell in a Cell, and this was just a tease, now when are you going to do this? You can't do it at Survivor Series. You're going to waste it for TLC. You're going to put Punk and Ryback in a ladder match at TLC? That's not going to work for anybody. He can't work them at the Rumble because that's Rocky's shot. Then what? You're going to waste this at Elimination Chamber with no potential payoff because Punk's got to go into WrestleMania?
Hey, John, I hate to cut you off, man, but we got 30 seconds left, and I just want to let everybody listening know that you could find my opinion on this tomorrow on iTunes. Please go search Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio on iTunes. Rate us 5 stars if you can. Download the show. We're going to continue this discussion on Raw. We're going to talk a little bit more about Ryback because I got something to say about it. And something else about John Cena. I want to pose a question about John Cena wearing the pink. So right now, the live show is about to end, but join us on iTunes tomorrow. And thank you for listening. Keep it real, folks. PWP Radio.
Keep it real.
Word. All right, guys. You have made it into iTunes Overtime right now. And John, I'm sorry to cut you off before, but we had to get a little bit of an outro to the crowd. I want to give you my scenario with Ryback. Now, you bring up there's too much going on with the WWE title scene. It all leads to Rock versus Punk. But what if this isn't Ryback versus Punk? What if Punk looks at Ryback, not knowing what the fuck is going on, but Paul Heyman is in Ryback's ear? Paul Heyman has recruited Ryback to join this little stable going on. There are so many different ways to go with this. I personally agree that it's an insurance policy in case Cena can't go. But Ryback's hot right now. His show strength when he took the couch and threw it over the top rope was fucking amazing. And I think there's really an unlimited amount of direction you can go. I really do. And what if, here's another thing. What if this leads to Brock Lesnar's return? What if CM Punk can't handle Ryback and Brock Lesnar comes in and is the first guy to really beat the living piss out of Ryback? You want to talk about believable? That is absolutely believable.
You can do that if Lesnar resigns. If Lesnar's not going to resign after WrestleMania, then you can't feed Ryback to him on the way out.
Well, no, I'm not saying it'll be a match. I'm saying that maybe it's Punk versus Ryback. Punk's in a lot of trouble. He's about to lose the belt. And Brock Lesnar comes out and just lays waste to Ryback. Just beats the living piss out of him. I think it's definitely something that is possible. And we're just going to have to see what happens. Will, anything else to add on Ryback apparently joining the main event scene in WWE? Will,
you know.
You there, Will?
Yeah, I'm here. My final take on this is that Ryback needs to be given a chance. I don't see this going past Hell in a Cell. I think it's a quick thing. So I think people are overdoing it. We haven't seen next week yet, but it does keep you intrigued to come in next week. But I think we're really reading way into it. There's no way Ryback's going to even win. So I just don't see this going past a couple weeks. I just think it's just Cena's got to take time off. Punk needs something. This is what they're giving it, something new. So I think we got to stop overthinking it too much. I think it's just something for right now, because they kind of got thrown a loophole with John Cena getting hurt.
Well, I wrote an article last night on Bleacher Report, and I woke up this morning. It was my day off today, so I woke up pretty late. I was up at like 11. And
lucky you. That must be nice.
Yeah, seriously. It's good to have a day off once in a while. But I look at this Bleacher Report article, and it had 12,000 reads and over 100 comments in only a few hours, not even 12 hours of being published. So people are truly in to what's going on with Ryback. There's intrigue. Nobody knows exactly what's going to happen with this angle, and that's the best part of it. I personally think in the short term, it is a money situation. They can make money. If they build up a fight between CM Punk and Ryback at some point, whether it's for the belt or not, hopefully it would be for the belt. But if you build that up and advertise it for a couple weeks in advance, then you will see that Ryback can really deliver. You can see that Ryback can be the guy, even though he doesn't have supposed microphone skills. He doesn't really need them. It's not a part of his gimmick. It's not a part of his character. I think he's believable. You know, people talk about build him up traditionally. Give him the Intercontinental Championship. Give him this. Give him that. Give him mid-card feuds. Have him fight The Miz for 2 months or whoever, you know. But did you see fucking Hulk Hogan fighting Greg the Hammer Valentine when he came into WWF? You know, did you see him becoming Intercontinental Champion first? Did you see Sting going through various mid-card guys in 1988 before he got to Ric Flair? No, you saw them both squash a bunch of assholes. In Hogan's case, he came in and went right for, you know, the American gimmick, going to fight against the Soviets and the Iranians and all that shit. They didn't need to do that. It wasn't something that needed to happen. So I'm not a big fan of this idea that it has to be traditional.
Jay, there's a difference between those guys, and I think this was mentioned in your article or a comment in it too, is that those guys had territories and they had previous fan bases and previous runs that Ryback doesn't have, and I'm surprised it hasn't come up through the crowd yet, especially with the way they abuse the hell out of Tenzai. Remember, this is still Skip Sheffield from Nexus. I mean, this is still the guy who was wearing a big goofy cowboy hat going woo 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 on NXT with William Regal. So you may have to have given him a little bit of a more foundation under him. He's gotten over, and that's a credit to what he's able to do, and that's a credit to the character. But like I said to you before, Jinder Mahal, Heath Slater, Miz, world title, I don't know.
Well, it really doesn't make a difference, in my opinion. I mean, it's something that's different, obviously, with today's wrestling world. It's something that's completely different. But we're just going to have to wait and see what happens with Ryback, where nobody knows where it's going to go, and I think that's the best part of it. But one more question on Raw, and then we're going to head into the TNA portion of the show. And this is an argument I had with somebody on Facebook today. And this guy, I don't know if he's a hater, I don't know if he's wearing fucking glasses that are all fogged and can't see fucking straight, but he feels that there's some kind of conspiracy going on with John Cena and this Rise Above Cancer thing that's going on. And believe me, I'm one to always support anything that supports fighting cancer. You know, I lost my father to cancer, I lost my grandmother to cancer, and I always donate what I can and try to stay as cancer-free as possible by staying in shape and being a powerhouse. But this kid seems to think that WWE has some kind of conspiracy against their other wrestlers by only allowing Cena to wear pink. Is this controversial or what? I don't really understand. I mean, I get the fact that now Dolph Ziggler can't have the pink T-shirt. Damian Sandow can't wear the pink trunk. You want to focus it on Cena, you want to sell those T-shirts and give 100% of the proceeds to cancer research, breast cancer awareness. So, Will, I'm going to kick it to you. Is this a controversy, or is this guy just fucking an idiot and doesn't know what he's talking about?
No, he's an idiot and doesn't know what he's talking about. That's I would love for that person to call into the show next week and say his little conspiracy and what he thinks, because I challenge him. Please, if you listen to this show, call in and get ready to get, like, raped over voice. You know, because it doesn't make any sense. They're doing a good cause here. I mean, what's the problem with it? So what? So a guy lost his pink T-shirt. You know, oh, my God. You know, who gives a crap?
He thinks that everybody should be wearing these cancer T-shirts, that everybody should be able to, whether you're heel or baby.
Breast cancer awareness month. It's September. You know, that's just what they're doing. You know, everyone else does it. You know, I mean, I don't get it. You know, it's just like if someone to bring that up either doesn't understand or doesn't have someone who lost someone from cancer. Now, I don't, but I understand why they're doing it, and I think it's a great thing. You know, WWE is trying to be a more acceptable global company. That's really what they're doing. And all these Make-A-Wish and Be A Star and, you know, not bullying, you know, these things are good things. It makes WWE look likable to a mass audience, to an advertisement, to a, you know, other businesses, you know. So there's nothing wrong with them, you know, doing this. It's just that people, when they see the Attitude Era and then they look at it now, they're like, they're PG. I was like, well, they're also more acceptable to an audience, you know. I mean, a lot of parents will let their kids watch wrestling right now, you know, in the Attitude Era. You know, wow, you know, what they saw was totally unacceptable for younger kids.
Well, real quick, I agree with you, Will. I'm going to read an excerpt from this little rant that this kid had on the Pro Wrestling Zone page on Facebook. I'm actually a moderator on this site. It seems like they'll make anybody a moderator on this site because this guy doesn't know what the fuck he's talking about. His initials are MJ. But let me read you an excerpt. He goes, "Who would honestly boo the guy supporting cancer awareness? I respect the causes, but you can't honestly say that WWE is doing this not just to make John Cena look good, but to also get good publicity for Linda McMahon's Senate campaign. Stand up for WWE, involve nearly every face and every heel. Be a star again, every face and every heel. Breast cancer awareness only involves John Cena. That's odd despite him being a massive draw, but what about Orton? What about Ryder, Sheamus, Brodus, and so on? The divas are women who could be affected by this. Just like those two other movements, this one is all about John Cena and Linda's Senate run." I do not agree with that. I mean, whether it's about Linda's Senate run or not, this is good public relations. I call bullshit on this right away. John, is this guy out of his fucking mind? What do you think?
Yeah, he is, because you know what? Look at Cena with the Make-A-Wish. He's the most, one of the most requested from Make-A-Wish overall, and people booed him knowing that. I mean, you're going to take, why would you not take the face of your company and have him be the focal point of this campaign? And if this guy had any clue what the hell he was talking about, there was another one of those, just like they have the Be A Star little commercials with everyone, you know, various superstars talking during it. They have one for breast cancer now. So, you know, to say that Cena is the only guy that's addressing this, the person who wrote that's a complete idiot. And to think that this is a way to, ooh, let's finally get away for Cena not to get booed everywhere it goes, they're not going to do that. You know, he's a moron, pure moron.
Yeah.
I agree with Will.
And I will give an invitation to this guy to talk to us next week on PWP Radio, because I just don't get it. If you go and you read the thread, his comments don't even make any sense. But I might even pull myself as a moderator from this page, because this guy is always posting ridiculous shit. And he seems like a nice guy, other than this idiotic stuff. But, yeah, my take on it is they're aware that John Cena is going to get booed. They like the fact that there's a mixed reaction wherever he goes. And if they're going to sell T-shirts, why not sell T-shirts for the top T-shirt-selling superstar in the history of the company? Why would you put Dolph Ziggler cancer awareness T-shirts out there, or fucking Alberto Del Rio cancer awareness T-shirts out there? You wouldn't, because whatever you sell from those guys, you still need to make a profit from. You're giving 100% of the profits to breast cancer awareness from these John Cena T-shirts.
And you know what? If this guy had any clue, last week during Miz TV, I mean, just as an example, Miz and Booker both had the ribbons on their suits. So they both had the pins.
John, that was his point. He says that these pins aren't enough, that everybody should be decked out in pink from head to toe, because it's just another conspiracy to keep John Cena as the top guy in the company. Of course they're going to keep John Cena as the top guy in the company. He is the top guy, and he's going to stay the top guy until Vince McMahon says he's not the top guy anymore. It's that fucking
exactly. And like you just said, you're not going to do a Tyson Kidd shirt like this. You're going to do the guy that's going to sell 100 shirts to everyone else's half a shirt. So why not do it? Yeah, he's a complete idiot.
Yeah, agreed. So moving along from this idiot, and I just wanted to get that off my chest because it really fucking bothered me. I even posed the question on our Facebook page at facebook.com/ProWrestlingPowerhouse. Posed that question, didn't get a lot of feedback on it, but if you'd like to talk about it, please join us and talk about it anytime. This is something that really hit me hard. I didn't understand how you could turn this into a conspiracy. But speaking of conspiracies, let's talk about TNA Wrestling and what took place last week on Impact. This was one of the worst episodes of Impact I've ever seen, especially since they've been rolling lately. They've been on kind of a roll. There's been a lot of wrestling, a lot of great matches. This was your open fight night edition. We also had the Gut Check Challenge, but there was only, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4 matches on the whole fucking card, and I didn't really get it. Most of it was dusty finishes or, like, no contest or whatever. So let's start out real quick with AJ Styles and Kurt Angle going up against Chavo Guerrero and Hernandez for the number one contendership to the TNA Tag Team Champions. Will, what were your thoughts on this match? It ended in a no contest. Hulk Hogan then booked a three-way for Bound for Glory. It's going to be AJ and Angle versus Chavo and Hernandez versus Daniels and Kaz. What are your thoughts on this contest?
Well, if you don't mind, Jake, just because I am, like, dirty from volleyball, I need to get in the shower, so I wanted to make this quick. If I could just give me, like, a 4-minute, like, rundown of my feelings on TNA.
Go for it. Yeah, give it. Starting now.
Okay, so I did like the tag team idea. I mean, that was pretty obvious that was coming anyway. I mean, Kaz and Daniels are a great tag team. You know, I did not like Robert Roode and James Storm fighting each other. I thought that was the dumbest idea they did on the entire card, because I would have paid to watch these two fight on Bound for Glory. And now I already got the street fight up a part of it.
I just thought it would be better just to wait and Rube just cowardly not take the fight. So I thought that was a bad idea. You know, I like the idea of parabullying Christiane. I thought that was good. You know, I don't understand the main event, because if Bully Ray indeed goes into the main event for Bound for Glory, then again, I talked about this last time, that the series means absolutely nothing, because the whole idea of the series is that the winner goes into Bound for Glory. I think Bully Ray should be a referee in the match. I think that'd be better. You know, I think that will work better. The Aces and Eights, I think that there wasn't too much build this time for them, so I think they kind of put them on the back burner a little bit. You know, so, I mean, we'll see what happens with that. But one thing I wanted to mention, Jay, is that something that we're going to be doing for Bound for Glory. Do you mind if I mention that?
Go right ahead.
So we are going to have our second post-pay-per-view show at 11 o'clock after Bound for Glory, hosted by yours truly, the TLD. And we'll be doing that at 11 o'clock right after Bound for Glory. So make sure you tune in for TNA Bound for Glory, and I'll be hosting the radio show right afterwards. So that's my thoughts. I just wanted to thank you, Jay, and the other guy. What's his name? Jay? What is your name?
That's John.
Oh, John. Okay. So I want to thank Johnny and Jay. I'll be back next week. Thank you, guys. Have a good rest of the show.
Thanks a lot, Will. Glad you could join us tonight. Glad you could join us after your excruciating game of volleyball. Volleyball's a big deal to Will. You know, he loves volleyball, but I don't.
Nice.
Hey, go to TLDWrestling.com.
Okay, Will's still with us. Sorry, Will. See you later, buddy. Yeah, go to TLDWrestling.com. Visit Will's website. Will is a professional wrestler. He wrestles mainly in the Jersey Shore area, but he does wrestle. He knows what he's talking about. But we are talking about TNA Wrestling, and he gave us his quick rundown. John, what do you think? AJ, Angle versus Chavo and Hernandez. What do they do here?
I liked it. I liked the match itself. I would have gone a little different, though. I would have had actually the Kaz and Daniels maybe cost one of the teams the match and then have Hogan come out and be like, you know, no, we're not going to go this way. Still get to the three-way. It's fine. It's going to be a good match those three teams. It should go over well. Kaz and Daniels are great in their roles. So it would be a good way to get those six on, you know, the card. So I got no problem with it. It was probably the only thing on that show that I didn't think was just horrendous.
I agree. The action was very good. It was nice seeing Chavo Guerrero back in there with Kurt Angle. They had their fair share of matches back in the WWE, and that was a breath of fresh air, so to speak, for TNA. Chavo's always good out there. He always delivers. But I feel the same way as you pretty much here. I mean, a no contest is kind of fucking lame. And Hulk Hogan getting involved again, kind of lame. Hulk Hogan was all over the show. I am a Hulk Hogan fan, but he was – this is like the second, third week in a row where it's just been Hulk Hogan overkill. So
it's starting to get a little much with him now.
Yeah, I'm not quite understanding why they're doing this. It should be about more of the new talent than Hulk Hogan every week. But it's Hulk Hogan. He's a self-promoter first and foremost, but I don't hate him because of that. I'll always love the Hulkster. But going on with the show, we had Dixie Carter backstage with Al Snow and Brother Love, Mr. Bruce Prichard, talking about Aces and Eights and how serious it is. And this is another segment that just fell short. It's almost like a repeat of what took place last week on the show. Dixie was giving them kind of a pep talk, so to speak, on Aces and Eights and what's going to happen. What are your thoughts on this, this angle with Aces and Eights getting into the building every week?
You know, I get it. It's a way to keep everyone apart until they do whatever it is they're going to do at the pay-per-view. So it makes sense from that. I was kind of enjoying not seeing Dixie on TV, and unfortunately that got ruined. That's the biggest thing I took from that. And I just, she's terrible. And I don't know about you, but my audio got messed up. So Al Snow was walking in the room, and then 2 minutes later he was talking. It was just my audio was messed up, so I couldn't really get into the segment because of it.
Yes, I forgot about that. Yeah, I think that happened across the board. Audio was messed up on this, and just shows the, I guess, Bush League type of shit that goes on in TNA. They seem to make mistakes in the live show every week, but I don't expect them to be perfect right now. They're still relatively new to doing Impact Live, so I can just chalk this up as a mistake. Well, yeah, it definitely threw me off. I fucking hated it. It reminded me of Takamichi Noku doing the old talk, 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 indeed bullshit.
Evil.
But, exactly, yeah. Moving on with the show. As I said, this was a shitty Impact. One of the worst ever, in my opinion. The Gut Check Challenge. We had Doug Williams once again defeating Evan Markopoulos, I guess his name is, Markolopoulos. He's an 18-year-old kid. He looked pretty good out there. He sold his ass off. He threw a nice dropkick. Didn't get much in offensive-wise, but he did get the crowd behind him. And if I was TNA, I'd look at this kid as a draft pick. I'd put him in developmental and try to build him into something. He definitely brought it as much as he could have done, but he's 18 years old. What can you expect? If you want to pay this kid, if you want to pay this kid $300 a week to work in OVW, fucking do it. The kid is going to be something someday. I have a feeling since he started at a real young age, and he's only 18. So what are your thoughts on Evan?
Yeah, I thought, you know, considering, and Williams is a great guy for him to work with. You know, he'll get what you can out of him. He's going to become their version of Finley, which is fine. Yeah, I would sign him, but I would tell him, listen, we're going to send you to OVW for, you know, maybe a year or two. You know, let you really get better. You're good now, and yeah, this kid's got some talent. He's got something, and if they let him go, he'll be in Ring of Honor. He'll be in FCW in no time. He's good. This is one of those things that TNA cannot drop the ball on. The only thing that's going to upset me about this week is his Gut Check decision is going to be ruined by Joey Ryan. So, TNA's going to screw this up anyway.
They need to build up this Al Snow Joey Ryan match that will take place. Is that taking place at Bound for Glory, by the way, John?
It hasn't been announced yet, but I would imagine that's where it has to happen. It hasn't been announced, but, I mean, with all this stuff with Ryan, it's got to go there. But, you know, this Joey Ryan thing, while it was unique when it first started, it also shows how they don't get it in TNA, and you can't blame it everything on Vince Russo. It is notoriously known that Taz can't go. And to start this storyline with Taz and him, where are you going to go with it? I mean, and the ironic part is that Al Snow voted yes for him. So why are you having the guy that voted for him not want him around now? It makes no sense.
Yeah, you got a great point there. And Joey Ryan, I've seen him wrestle in the past. I think he's a good talent. We talked about him last week. He's got that 70 porn star gimmick, and that's the point, you know. That's the point of it. But he's been taking his own route in social media. He started a YouTube show, and he's trying to build his name up on his own, and that's what every wrestler should do. I know there's probably not a lot of wrestlers that listen to this show, but take it from Colt Cabana. If you ever listen to The Art of Wrestling, which is a great podcast, it's fantastic. He's really taking it into his own hands and making money from wrestling, not being involved with WWE and or TNA. He's doing it the right way. He's getting his online presence out there and wrestling all over the world. It's something Joey Ryan is doing, and he's getting his shot at Bound for Glory, apparently, against Al Snow. We'll have to see what happens. Will brought this up before. James Storm and Robert Roode, there was a big battle between them that kind of got drawn out with Robert Roode refusing the open fight night, Hulk Hogan making him fight. And it just got drawn out, and I'm sitting there with my buddy, and we're like, what the fuck? This is taking forever. Like, these guys are just beating each other's ass. There's really nothing going on. It looks like an NFL game. It's just chaos. So what are your thoughts on this? I wasn't a fan.
Well, you and I have spoken the couple times on here where I feel Roode and Storm should have been. I agree that this has turned into a clusterfuck storyline, although I will say this, though. I can understand the little brawl that they had, you know, and Roode not wanting to fight him. I could see this becoming, even though it's a shame where it's going to fall to on this card, but I could see this becoming maybe something like Last Man Standing or I Quit to really put some finality to it. And I even wouldn't be surprised if this has number one contender attached to it.
Yeah, it's got to have something. I think they really dropped the ball by having these two have an all-out brawl. I'm not trying to
ruin
it, but they dropped the ball on that. It shouldn't have happened. If it was going to happen, it should have ended quickly. Don't drag it out. Don't allow the Impact Wrestling crowd to watch these guys fight, because they're not going to want to watch it on Bound for Glory.
I would have had Rude, and I thought this would have been a great spot for Morgan to show up Thursday night. I would have had Rude just pay somebody off to fight Storm. It's open fight night. He called him out. I'm not fighting you. Screw you. But you know what? I got someone who will. You know, let's not forget, before he went to Beer Money, Rude was being groomed as, you know, the money guy, almost like a modern-day Ted DiBiase. Why not have Rude the next 3-4 weeks leading into Bound for Glory pay a guy off every week to try to, you know, beat the hell out of Storm, you know, and weaken him? This way they don't have to touch each other, but the heat is still there. This took a lot of heat away from this feud. And you add that and the fact that, you know, what it should have been, this thing's gonna go down as a failure for them. And this could have been their money storyline going into Bound for Glory, but it's going to be a failure, unfortunately.
I'm tending to lean towards your take on it. I initially thought this was going to be a great co-main event to build up to Bound for Glory, but now it's just turning into another match, and that's that, because these guys have been at it for about a year. And, yeah, moving on with the show, we had some weird interaction with Tara and Christy Hemme. I really wasn't a fan of this. I don't really want to even talk about it. It was pretty dumb. But let's get into a big picture, a big angle that happened. Hulk Hogan once again comes out to the ring, starts cutting a promo on Aces and Eights. Hulk Hogan sometimes seems like he's fucking out there. He says some weird shit in his promos nowadays. I'm not sure if you guys are paying attention, but it's not your 1989 Hulk Hogan brother. It's something completely different from what he used to do. And I guess in a way that's fine. He's got to change with the times, but sometimes I feel like he's stuck in the past. And he promoed with Aces and Eights. They showed up on the big screen. Joseph Park was abducted by them earlier on in the night, and he's sitting there locked up in a cage. It's some kind of crazy Sons of Anarchy angle. They apparently pop him over the head with a hammer, which thank God they didn't show the contact, because that was pretty fucking brutal, even for TNA. But what did you think about the turn this took, John? Joseph Park was apparently headed to the arena with some information about Aces and Eights, and he gets captured. What do you think about this?
I actually never thought I would be a fan of an abduction hostage angle, but apparently I enjoyed the fact that he didn't get there, because I'm at the point now, and I think I said this to you, if it wasn't going to happen already, it's got to happen at Bound for Glory with the reveal. I still think that's where it's going to happen. I'm really surprised if they do, and I said this to you, if they do team warfare, someone turned. I want to know is that how did they get Hulk Hogan's cell phone number? If you're holding one of my guys hostages, you've gone after, you know, my daughter, and you've even laid me out. I'm sorry. Here, let's trade cell phone numbers and talk on the phone every week. Like, it's not making any sense where this is all going. I mean, it's obvious where it's going, but, you know, the fact
exactly.
that they do these things on the phone. And it's not like you even hear the other end of it. You just hear Hogan talking on it. So it's not even like they're giving you access to the whole conversation. And then, exactly, he comes out 20 minutes later. He cuts batshit crazy promos. And now he's going to go there next week after seeing that they almost killed Joseph Parks by putting a hammer to his head, because apparently they're going to knock him out to the point where he can't remember what was on the laptop. But, yeah, you know what? Let me go there alone next week and go get him. It's starting to get a little cartoonish now.
I'm glad you brought up the cell phone conversation, because my buddy and I were watching, my buddy Nick, who never joined us on the radio show for some reason. We noticed that Hulk Hogan, if you look at his phone, there was no picture on it, no screen. It was just black. So there was nobody on the other end of that shit. It was just Hulk Hogan talking into a fucking phone and bringing up whatever Ace and Ace was saying in his own warped mind. But again, I'm going to repeat it. I'm a big fan of Hulk Hogan forever, no matter what, but he's getting a little batshit crazy. And
I have two words for Joseph Parks: flash drive.
Yeah, exactly. And I even think that there's a big possibility that Joseph Park, a.k.a. Abyss, is involved with Aces and Eights, because this just seems like Abyss kind of disappeared. They took the character off after the Bully Ray feud, and he hasn't
been
involved.
Well, that's what I said to you the first time we did this, was how cool would it be if Parks was on Team TNA, but Abyss was Aces and Eights?
Absolutely. You did bring that up, and I agree with you now, because this even adds to it. Like, if they didn't show the hammer strike, so maybe Joseph Park didn't get hit overhead with a hammer. Maybe he did. Who the fuck knows? This angle is getting drawn out. If they don't reveal it at Bound for Glory, then they're never going to. I mean, this could be like a fucking Raw mystery general manager shit.
And more importantly, where's Sting been the last few weeks?
I don't know. Sting comes and goes as he pleases, I guess.
You know, but he's supposed to
be—he's
supposed to be the second guy, leading the fight. And call me crazy, but this has shifted all back to Hogan now.
Exactly. It's just typical TNA bullshit. They start getting the ball rolling in the right direction, and it's one step forward, two steps back. And the final match of the night was Bully Ray. The TNA World Heavyweight Champion, Austin Aries. During the show, we had a just weird interaction between Austin Aries and Jeff Hardy. Whenever you throw Jeff Hardy out there in a backstage promo or segment or whatever, it's always going to be weird because he just doesn't seem to fit in that environment. It's never natural. Austin Aries, I guess, did his best to paint a picture for the match with Bound for Glory. But Bully Ray defeats Austin Aries, I'll bet cheating. Hit him with the chain, knocked him the fuck out, was ready to do more damage. Jeff Hardy makes a save. Typical bullshit ending to TNA Impact Wrestling. What are your thoughts on this angle, John?
Taking a turn Aries heel. And it makes no sense. And it's basically, you're going to ruin Aries. You're going to ruin what could be a landmark moment for him and for, you know, this company with this pay-per-view. And you're going to turn around and you're going to turn Aries heel to feed him to Jeff Hardy. And I think Bound for Glory is ruined, to be honest with you, Jay.
I'm not going to go there yet. I don't think it's ruined. But there's still time to save this Austin Aries-Jeff Hardy match. I'm not sure what Bully Ray's involvement is going to be. There's still a possibility. He's a key player in Aces and Eights. I really don't know, but the bottom line
is... Aries teamed with Rude over the weekend to face Storm and Hardy on house shows. So, you know, it's at least the heel aspect for Aries has been, you know, pretty much determined. I kind of am with you as far as where they're going to go with Bully. I think they were kind of mixed as to whether or not he was going to resign. So I think that's where they're keeping it close to their chest with him. I do agree with you on that.
Yeah, it's confusing. It really is. It's TNA and their typical bullshit. But I'm not sure where it's going, and we'll talk about more TNA wrestling next week right here on PWP Radio. John, any final thoughts on the wrestling world in general? Any final thoughts?
You know what? If you would have told me this time last night at 10:32 we'd be talking about Ryback CM Punk, I would have told you you're nuts. So, you know what, we got something to look forward to on Monday, and, you know, we'll see where it goes. You know, thanks again for the time. I'm pushing you guys even on my Twitter page, on my YouTube channel. So, you know, hopefully, you know, you get this thing growing big.
Oh, thank you very much for joining us tonight, John. We really appreciate it. Thanks for your contributions to ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com. You can always go there and visit and check out all the different articles and blogs we have, and you can always listen to the radio shows there. Buy something through the Amazon store to support the show. I am funding the show on my own, folks. It's all coming out of my pocket. So if you can buy something at the Amazon store, please do so. It doesn't matter what it is. Just click the link, and it'll take you to Amazon. It'll put a cookie on your computer. Buy whatever the fuck you want, and we get a very small portion of it. You can also share the show. Share it on Facebook, Twitter, download on iTunes. We really appreciate it. And make sure you keep a lookout for the SmackDown Rundown coming to you this Saturday at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It will be live, and it will be your SmackDown-only show for the week. And don't forget, we're going to be running a special Bound for Glory show with Will TLD Vasitas as the host. That will take place right after Bound for Glory at 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. But it's been a great show. For Will TLD Vasquez, for John DiMaselli, thank you very much for joining us and downloading on iTunes. We will see you next week right here live on PWP Radio. This is Jay Aletto signing out. Keep it real, folks.